says we turn our thoughts towards Seder night, which is fast approaching, even though time is moving in an unusual way. One of the pillars of the evening of Seder night, of course, the central features is that of Heseba, of reclining. It shows freedom, even though nowadays it's not the way that we normally even free people eat, but nonetheless it remains that way as a display. And there's a very interesting medrash which identifies the source for the concept of Heseba. The Medrash Shmos Rabbah takes us back to the beginning of Parshas Bishalach. And there it says, Vayasev Elokim es ha'am derech ha'midbar yamsuf. Hashem took the Am, took the Jewish people, not the direct route, but rather the circuitous route towards Yamsuf. Vayasev Elokim, says the Medrash. Commenting on the word Vayasev Elokim, you see the connection, Vayasev, Heseba, because Hashem took them that way, Mikan Omru, Afilu Onish Bi Yisrael, even the poor amongst Israel, Lo Yochal Ad Sheyasev. He shouldn't eat on Seder night until he, or unless he is reclining. Of course, we need to understand how these two Haseves are connected. They don't really mean the same thing. Vayasev in Parshas Bishalach comes from the word Sovev. We were taken on a circuitous route. La save is to recline. How does one form the source of the other? When it comes to the four sons, so the first of the sons, as we know, is the Chacham. And what does he say? So if you recall from the Haggadah, Chacham Mahu Omer, what does the Chacham say? He says, Maha Eidos, Vachukim, Vamishpatim, Asher Tziva, Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. What's all the mitzvahs? What are all these mitzvahs? And the answer, again, as we know, is Va'afata Emelo Kehochas HaPesach. So you too, say to him like the Kehochas HaPesach, Ein Maftirin Achara Pesach Afikoman. We don't eat any dessert after the Korban Pesach. We don't have an Afikoman after the Korban Pesach. Nowadays, what we call the Afikoman is the matzah that we eat zecher to the Korban Pesach. But the original concept of Afikoman is dessert that one shouldn't eat after the Korban Pesach. Okay, be that as it may. The question and the answer of the Chacham need to be examined. What exactly is he asking? I mean, he's called a Chacham. So apparently he's a wise son, except all he does is ask, you know, what are all these mitzvahs? Which doesn't really sound so wise. In fact, he doesn't really sound that much wiser than the Tam. He just seems like he has a better vocabulary. The Tam says, Mazos. Like, what is all this? And the Chacham says, Ma'edos v'chukim v'mishpatim, which is another way of saying, what is all this? He just takes longer to get to the end of his question. So what exactly is he asking, and what's so wise about it? And the answer that we give him, Ein maftirin achara pesach afikoman. Well, I don't know. If he's really wise, he will notice that we haven't actually answered his question, because he's asking, what's it all about? And we seem to push him off with this halacha, you know, you don't eat dessert after the Korban Pesach, as if that's meant to clear everything up for him. How does it address anything? And certainly, how does it address everything that he is asking? V'kol zeh omer darsheni. So the point that we wish to develop here is that when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are two concepts. And we find them often mentioned side by side. On the one hand, there is the concept of Geula or Yetzia, deliverance or leaving. And alongside that, we have the concept of Pidyon, redemption. Now, what is Pidyon? Where do we see this parallel? For example, in the morning after Shema, we say, Mi Mitzrayim Ga'altanu, Umi Beis Avodim Pitisanu. We were delivered from Mitzrayim and redeemed from Beis Avodim. Geula and Pidyon. Likewise, in the second bracha of benching in Nodelacha, we say, Va'al Shod Seisanu Hashem Elokeinu Meretz Mitzrayim, Uftisanu Mi Beis Avodim. taken out, and redeemed. What is the difference in connotation, the contribution of these two things? And really what emerges here is that there are two aspects to leaving Mitzrayim. And it's built ultimately on both of them. And therefore we need to pay attention to both of them. The first is more external. It's more political. It's about leaving. It's about getting out. From a certain point of view, that basic understanding of being delivered, one could call it a negative understanding. It's negative in the sense that it's what we're not. We're no longer slaves to Paro. So we've lost a negative aspect of our profile, of our makeup. But then what are we? Not slaves to Paro. The definition is only in terms of what we're not. And even if we say now we're free, free can yet just be described in terms of not being slaves to Paro. But there's a second aspect, a higher aspect, or an inner aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is the concept of Pidyon. If we're familiar with the idea of Pidyon in Halacha or in Torah, it refers to changing the domain of an entity from one to the other. Shinui Rishus. Pidyon means not only what are we not, meaning no longer under Paro, but what are we now, yes, and that is from Paro's domain to be brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. And that is the fuller tachlis, the fuller definition, the positive definition of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And let's discuss this just a little bit more. What do we mean when we talk about becoming Hashem's people? The idea of us being Hashem's people means that through us, Hashem is revealed to the world. That's what it means to be Hashem's people. We represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. His presence, His power, His message. And this is in two ways, actually. On the one hand, it's about telling people about Him. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, it was the Haftarah, I think, for last week, Amzu Yatzarti Li, Tilosi Yisaperu. This nation, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I formed for me, they will tell of my praise. It's about spreading Hashem's message. That's one way that we represent Him. But the other way is not only by the things that we say, but things that happen to us. That means the experience of the Jewish people and the things that happen to them are also a way of revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, because the unique experiences of the Jewish people themselves tell of the one who was protecting them against all odds, in their highs and in their lows. And this idea of the Jewish people as a vehicle, as an experiential vehicle to revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, it starts at the very beginning. It starts at the Makos of Mitzrayim. And this brings us to an important and very meaningful discussion with regards to the Makos themselves. As we know, formally, what are they doing? They're there to punish the Egyptians. They're there to make sure the Egyptians let the Jewish people go. But you don't need 10 plagues for Paro to let the Jewish people go, and you don't need 10 miraculous plagues. One plague will be enough, and it can just be as simple as a migraine, and we'll mail him the Akamol when we're a safe distance away. So why do we have such a sound and light production for something which didn't really need anything near so high end? But the answer is the miracles themselves, the miraculous nature of the Makos, is what is already beginning to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And it happens through the action that He takes on behalf of the Jewish people. And that's why you find that an underlying concept which keeps on like a motif throughout these parshias is to know of Hashem, right? V'idatem ki ani Hashem, leman teda ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz, leman teda ki ani Hashem, etc. Knowledge of Hashem in the world, it comes through the miracles that He performed on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. And in that way, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to form. Because if the relationship is about us representing him, and part of the way that we represent his presence and message is through the experiences that happen to us, so those experiences, they begin to form that very relationship. And all of this reaches a climactic point at Makas Bechoros, the tenth and last of the Makos. Because the hashkacha that was shown in that one instant where all kol b'chareim harakta, u'v'chorcha ga'alta, wherever they were, wherever we were, and within one instant it's all done, and everyone gets what they need to get, that was a connecting moment of the Jewish people with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we say, and it's one of the sections in the Haggadah where we might not pay as much attention to it as we should, because it's not in the first, you know, half dozen sections of Maggid. It's kind of towards one of the later corridors where we're just, you know, moving along. But we say that Hashem took us out b'mora godel, with great awe. And the Haggadah explains b'mora godel means ze gilu shchina. That's a revelation of the divine presence. And the pasuk that's quoted is Makas Bechoros. As we know, Vavarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Ani V'lo Malach, Ani V'lo Saraf, Ani V'lo Ashaliach, Anihu V'lo Acher. That is said about Makas Bechoros. That means that the punishment that took place at the time, the Makkah of the firstborn, it was itself a Gilu Shechina. And because it was a Gilu Shechina, that became a significant connecting moment, a formative connecting moment of the Jewish people with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if they're connected to him, so then that's part of the process of Pidyon, because Pidyon means going from Paro's domain to Hashem's domain. And the more connected we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we're in his domain. And that brings us to a fascinating idea, and that is that the second, what we would call the second aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim, namely not just leaving Mitzrayim, but connecting with Hashem, the second aspect actually began to happen, and maybe significantly happened, before we left Mitzrayim. The inner understanding of Yetzias Mitzrayim happened before the physical leaving of Mitzrayim. And this is something which is expressed explicitly later on in the Torah. In Parshas Re'eh, in Devarim Perek Tet Zayin Pasuk Aleph, and this is from the laning of, at least in Chutz La'aretz, the eighth day of Pesach, where it says about Pesach, Ki v'chodesh ha'aviv, for in the spring month, Hotziacha Hashem mi Mitzrayim Laila, Hashem took you out from Mitzrayim at night. The Pasuk says, black on white, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim at night. So that's a very unusual thing to say, especially as if you look all through Chumash Shemos, the relevant parshas, you will see the Jewish people are referred to as leaving Mitzrayim be'etzem hayom hazeh, in the middle of the day. And yet Chumash Devarim says they left, Hashem took them out at night. But Chumash Devarim is referring to this aspect of leaving Mitzrayim, of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that took place in the middle of the night. But it's called Yetziah. Hashem took you out because in terms of your connection, you are no longer connected to Mitzrayim and you've become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, in the higher sense, is called Yetzias Mitzrayim, which means the inner concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim took place the night before we actually left Mitzrayim. And that is why Makas Bechoros is such a significant moment, as it forges the connection and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which itself is the second aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So far, we've discussed our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we are passive in a sense. In other words, we are the beneficiaries of his miracles. We are the recipients of his miracles. But we're passive, in a sense. Things are happening to us. But there is one aspect of the relationship where we are active. And again, even before we leave Mitzrayim. And that is the Korban Pesach. After all, what is a Korban if not Avodah? What is Avodah if not an expression of us as Avdei Hashem? And what does it mean to be Avdei Hashem if not to mean that we are his people, which again takes us back to the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's an amazing idea because from a certain point of view, the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was activated before we even left. And therefore, once again, we're leaving before we left. And the Korban Pesach itself, as the Maharal explains, I mean, all Korbanos are about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the primary existence. Certainly, with regards to the Korban Pesach, to take a lamb, which is the deity of Egypt, not an easy thing, and to bring it as a Korban, expressing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate force above all forces. That's a statement. And that's a Jewish people statement, and it's a message. And that's why we find, says Maharal, there's a concept of oneness. This is Maharal in the Sefer Gevuras Hashem. There's a concept of oneness that runs through the Korban Pesach, more than other Korbanos, in effect. There's an emphasis on unifying. And how do we see this? For example, the Halacha states, Bebayis echad ye'ochel can only be eaten in one house, right? One group together. It shouldn't be split into parts. Ve'etzem lutishbubo, the bones can't be broken. And even the way that it's prepared, as we know, one of the well-known halachas of Korban Pesach, this was originally one of the questions of the Manishtana. On all other nights, you can have meat, however it's cooked, or casseroled, or roasted, basar, tzoli, shaluk, or mevushal, halayla hazek kulo tzoli, Pesach einu nechel el tzoli, can only be eaten roasted. Why is there such an insistence that the Pesach be roasted? Says the Maharal, very interestingly, roasting is the only form of preparation of food or of meat where the particles actually end up getting drawn closer together. All other forms which involve liquid, so they actually loosen the consistency. But when it comes to roasting, it actually, as we know, things contract. Once again, even that is an expression of unity. And therefore, the Korban Pesach, once again, is our active contribution to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his people. And all of this expresses Hashem as the ultimate power over all powers, as the Echad, Yachid Umiyuchad. With this in mind, we can understand how we find through the halachas of Seder night that an aspect of Sibu Yetzias Mitzrayim is actually to be involved in the halachas of Korban Pesach, which is interesting, because Sipur is the story, and halachas are halachas, but somehow we find that the Tosefta and the Mechilta and others, that the idea of being involved in the halachas of Korban Pesach, because the halachas of Korban Pesach, they revolve around the theme that's the ultimate goal of Sibu Yetzias Mitzrayim, of leaving in order to become connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem Echad, and Hashem Echad is what the Korban Pesach is all about. But all of this leads us to an interesting Shaila. And this Shaila is asked by the Chacham. Namely, if Korban Pesach is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is the force, but beyond all other forces, as was shown in the miracles of Mitzrayim, but then the Chacham asks this question, when all of that's over, when all of that is done, Ki yishal chabincha machar, he'll ask you tomorrow. This is already Moshe, he's talking in Chumash Devarim, it's in Parshas Vayeshanan, and we're already not necessarily in a mode of open miracles where we could see Hashem Echad. And therefore, the Chacham is asking a very interesting question. What's all the halachas that surround the Korban Pesach when the mode that they are celebrating no longer exists? How did the original Korban Pesach, we understand, that took place amongst open miracles. You see Hashem Echad, and the Korban says Hashem Echad. But now, it's for all future generations, but you no longer have those miracles. So why are we still celebrating something which is no longer there? And what's the answer? The answer is Ein maftirin achara Pesach hafikoman. We don't eat anything after the Korban Pesach. How is that the answer to his question? Well, Rav Uri Jungreis Shalita, this in the Sefer Uri V'Yishi, explains, as we know, the reason why we don't eat anything after the Korban Pesach is in order that the taste of the Korban Pesach should stay with us. What does that mean? If the Korban Pesach itself represents miracles, then the concept of the taste of the Korban Pesach is that which remains even after we no longer have those open miracles. And this brings us to the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, which tells us that the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu performing those miracles in Mitzrayim, he's not going to repeat them every year or regularly. But they're there in order to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being behind our history, even when we do not have open miracles anymore. As if to say, once Hashem has revealed himself as the force behind all forces, or above all forces, then he's also the force behind all forces. Or in the words of the Ramban, from open miracles, a person can learn to see hidden miracles. And what that means is the history of the Jewish people, which is effectively a series of miracles, that's the taste of the Korban Pesach. In the same way that the taste of the Korban's not there anymore, but it's still represented, it still remains, it still lingers, so too we say to the Chacham, we no longer have those open miracles, but we still draw from them, because the lesson that they taught schools us to understand how to look even at the hidden miracles that surround us. And that is why we continue to celebrate the Korban Pesach, because we have historically always the taste of the Korban Pesach, of the original Korban Pesach, that we wish to stay with us. And this brings us to the final miracle of Pesach, which took place on the last day, and that's Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, again, we understand now how every miracle is a revelation. That is to say, every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu overrides nature, it brings us into direct contact with him. And that's why Kriyas Yamsuf is not just a time of salvation, it's a time of revelation. And that's why we say, or we said it, Shira Sayam, Ze Keli V'Anveyu, Ze Keli, this is my God. As the Medrash famously states, Rasa Shivcha Layam, even the Shivcha, she saw the sea, what the Yechezkel didn't see. Ze Keli means that through the miracle, you attain a certain revelation. But we've seen that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed in the world through those miracles, so that cements his relationship with the Jewish people. And that's why another major connecting moment between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was during Kriyas Yamsuf. During that miracle, the revelation that took place through us served further to connect us. And I think that's why in Shira Sayam, I think it's explicit, because we say, Ad Ya'avor Am Zukonisa. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as having acquired the Jewish people. Why do we say that in Shira Sayam? Because he acquired them during Kriyas Yamsuf. It was through the miracle and through that revelation that the connection was further cemented to the point of acquisition. And that's called Am Zukonisa. That connection is an ongoing one. And this brings us now to the question of celebrating Pesach throughout the generations. If all we had on Pesach, if all we were celebrating was the first basic element of Chayrus, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is what we'd call political freedom, we haven't always had political freedom, which raises the question as to what about Pesach every year? Why would we celebrate something if we no longer have it? Which is a very good question. The Jewish people and parts of the Jewish people have sometimes found themselves on Pesach in circumstances that rivaled the straits of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the second element of Pesach, the second element of Yetzias Mitzrayim, has never been taken away and is always worthy of celebration. Which means if we have a higher vision of what Chayrus is, namely our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand why we celebrate Pesach every year, regardless of where we are. And that's why in Parshas Bo, in Chumash Shemos, Perek Yud Beis, the Pasuk says, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Talet, V'chagosem oso chag l'Hashem, celebrated as a festival for Hashem, Chukas Olam techaguhu, celebrated as an everlasting statute. What's the connection between these two things? Says Meshe Chochma, because if your chag of Pesach is a chag lachem, a festival for you, for your freedom, you don't always have your freedom. But if it's chag lashem, the chag of semos of chag lashem, so then chukas olam techagu. If you celebrate the connection that you attained with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's always there and always worthy of celebration every year, regardless of where you are. And what that means is, everyone on Seder night is a king. Everyone on Seder night is free. Because what we attained on Seder night is to free us from the way of looking at the world, a constricted way, which existed at the time, and we've gone beyond that to become connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power beyond all powers. And having been freed in that way and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone reclines on Seder night. And that brings us back to where we began. Vayasev Elokim es ha'am derech ha'midbar yam suf. Hashem took the people on a circuitous route towards the Yam Suf. And the Medrash says, because of that Vayasev, everyone reclines. Even Ani Shebi Yisrael, lo yochal ad sheyasev. And we asked, what's the connection between these two Yasevs, Vayasev and Adayasev? One is circuitous and one is reclining. But the point is, when Hashem took us on that roundabout route to Yam Suf, it was in order to cement and finalize the connection between us and Him through Ze Keli Vanvehu, through Amzu Kanisa. And once we have that connection, everyone eats reclining on Seder night. So it turns out that sometimes the nature of things is that the more constrained we are, the more we're able to broaden our horizons. I think that generally speaking, we're out and about, we can go wherever we want, and that actually leads us sometimes to a rather constricted vision, because we're just busy with the things that we are. When life closes in a little bit, it actually allows us to connect with things that we otherwise might not have a chance to do. And I think that gives a special meaning to the Seder this year. Wherever a person is this year, they might not be with a crowd, and they might not have seen crowds recently in the flesh, but they're probably with at least some of the people with whom they should be connecting most meaningfully in any case. And certainly they have HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, and that what the connection with Him as individuals and as a people is what Seder night is all about. And therefore, as we've ironically seem to have lost our freedom in many other respects, it gives us the possibility to take advantage of the situation and attain it in the higher sense through connecting more meaningfully with the inner meaning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Uptison Mibes Avodim, to become HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So each one where we are, we should celebrate in good health. Chag Lashem, Chukas Olam Techaguhu, and next year, Mirtz Hashem, we should already have seen the fruits of these endeavors and celebrate together in the Beis HaMikdash, which should come. V'mehiru b'yameinu, Amen.